Treated Imberlin Clare Harbor to the world on Tuesday at 4:43 p.m. The 26th is also Brenna's birthday, so they share a birthday together there, and it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Ember is doing great, and Brenna's doing well too. Keep them both in your prayers, Brenna especially, but things are doing awesome. So it appreciate everybody's prayers, and please continue to keep them in your prayers. We're in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. Been talking the past few weeks about gifts. And we haven't been talking about the spiritual gifts as recorded by the book of Acts, and how the apostles passed on those spiritual gifts. Now we're talking about the gifts that we have spiritually in Christ Jesus, as the book of Ephesians references. We've been talking about some of those blessings that we have, and specifically we talked, starting out, about the blessing of Jesus' life. Jesus' life to us is a gift and a blessing. Jesus came down humbly, okay, took on the form of a man. He was a man while being still 100% God. He became a man for our sake. And we talked about everything that that entailed, kind of the great humility that belongs with that, the humility of having to learn, the humility of having to be dependent upon a young mother and father, right? It is crazy. It really is crazy to think about the God of the universe, the Creator God, becomes a baby in the manger. The Creator God becomes a single cell inside of Mary. It's really amazing to think about, and it is a gift to us. A gift to us that He lived that life perfectly and is an example for us to follow in His steps. Along with that, of course, is his sacrifice and his death. You cannot really separate Jesus' life from Jesus' death. And so Jesus showed us what love looks like on the cross, okay, and gave us the ultimate example of what giving to the last and giving to the core looks like. It looks like giving it all up. Okay? And that's the process that he's working us through to be able to develop us to the point where we are also willing to give it all for him. So, we talked about that, Jesus' life is a gift to us. But then we also talked about how his Holy Spirit is a gift. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 is a verse that is oft recited. Peter said, "Repent, let each one of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, that's the indwelling Holy Spirit that that's talking about, and we can prove that through Acts 2:39, working a little bit with Galatians 3, that sort of thing. You need those scriptures to be able to prove that that's the indwelling Spirit, okay? But you can do that no problem. But Peter calls the indwelling Spirit a gift. Creator God comes to dwell inside of you. He made his Spirit to dwell richly within us. That's a pretty good gift. Pretty good gift to give to us is to have the rivers of living water dwelling within us. To have the Godhead dwelling inside of us. That's a pretty good gift. A lot better than an Xbox, right? Great gift. great gift that we've been given. And then last week, we discussed, our opportunities to be able to give what we've been given. What have we been given? And how can we give that to the world that desperately needs what we have? See, it's not so much about our ability as it is about our availability to be able to give what we have right now. We talked about the widow and her son, and how the widow only had a little bit of oil and she only had a little bit of flour, and there was a drought in the land. And in that drought, there's bad drought. People are dying. She was ready to cook this last little cake and have them die. And God told her, he said, give this to the prophet. And we talked about how she didn't self-justify, right? She followed through on God's command. She followed through on that, and she gave Elijah what was requested. And we talked about how that actually isn't easy. It's easy for us in retrospect because we know that God's not going to allow the oil and God's not going to allow the flour to come out. But she doesn't know the end of the story yet. We ever find ourselves in a position where God's requesting something of us, or there's a situation in our life that there's a recognition that God's requesting is something of us and we don't know the end of the story yet? And we got to act in faith? All the time, right? All the time. So our responsibility then is to give what we have been given. The widow, she gave what? Her two copper coins. What did Jesus say? She gave more than all those rich people that came in and gave out of their excess and abundance. She gave more because she gave what she needed to live on. See, it doesn't cost a thing to give kindness. It doesn't cost a thing to give compassion. It doesn't cost a thing to give love and to give mercy. None of those things cost anything. And it's our responsibility to give those things just as we have been given those things. Additionally, we talked about a little boy that gave his two fish and five loaves to Jesus out of John there. And we talked about how his gift ended up blessing all those other people. And he was the one who had been responsible, right? He was the one who brought what he was supposed to bring, and yet he was willing to give that to Jesus because he knew that Jesus could do more with his two fish and five loaves than he could ever imagine. Jesus is able to do more with whatever we have to bring than we can ever imagine. The scripture says it this way, him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. These aren't just words on a page. That's the reality of the situation. He's able to do more than we can ask or think. I can imagine a lot. God's a really big God, and he can do more than I can even think. It's pretty incredible. The boy is a great example of faithfulness in giving what he had. He didn't know what Jesus was going to do. Maybe he goes home on an empty stomach and gets a tongue lashing from his mama who made sure that he had some food, right? I mean, that's the way that you kind of expect that thing to go. So he gave what he had been given. Now we read in James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, it says, every good thing given and every gift coming down from above is bestowed from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing given. Every gift is from above. See, we've been given a lot, and the good things that we have from above. Again, not about ability, but about availability, and those who are available and have good hearts develop then ability. You got ability without the heart, it's a waste, right? You got a heart that really wants to serve Jesus and is available to serve Jesus, you're going to develop the ability. So we got a lot of good things. Church family. That's encouragement, right? See each other. spend time with each other, share in one another's lives, root for one another, be there for each other's victories, be there when we need comfort. It's great to have a church family. Not all of us are coming from a place where we have a great physical family. What a great comfort and a great relief to have a family that is like the Lord's church. To have a family that isn't just the local congregation, certainly includes the local congregation, but isn't just the local congregation, that is all around the United States and even the world. Great fellowship of the saints. Is that a blessing? Is that a good gift? Every good thing given. You know, really clear to me, okay, with this past week, you know, my little girl, a great gift, right? I can't imagine a better gift for me, right, than our little girl. Where's that come from? Whose is she really? Who's responsible for her being happy and healthy and... I didn't control any of that. Like, talk about a helpless process, right? I'm not even the one carrying her. I got nothing to do with it, essentially. But God does. She's a good gift. Every good thing... What? Every good gift is from above. Coming down from the Father of lights, with him there is no variation or shifting shadow. And so, not only are our families, our church family, and then our physical family as well, they're gifts from God. Okay, we've also been given opportunities. People that you have to work with, do you recognize that they are a gift? The people that you have an opportunity to interact with, to be able to, on a daily basis, to be able to influence with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be able to interact with in the marketplace, wherever that may be for you, do you realize that those are potential gifts? You have that. God's giving you that opportunity where you're at in your place. That's a gift. The people that you have the opportunity to one-on-one Bible study with, that's a gift. It's a gift that God has given to you for you to steward that gift appropriately. There's a responsibility there, but what a great gift. He's allowed you to be a co-laborer with him. God's my co-worker. Wow. Wow. I mean, he's allowing me to work together with him for the greatest accomplishment and purpose that there ever has and ever will be. Pretty big deal. It's a gift. And the scripture tells us that it's the exercise of his will that he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. Let's go to Numbers chapter 18. Talk a little bit about these first fruits for just a second. Numbers 18 and verse 12. All of the best of the fresh oil and all of the best of the fresh wine and of the grain, the first fruits of those which they give to the Lord, I give them to you. So when Israel began to bring the crops in, they were to harvest the very first, the very best section first. And they were then to set that aside, okay, for the priests as an offering to the Lord. Now the harvest time comes, we're going to bring in the best stuff first. And the best stuff is then going to be an offering to the priests, essentially an offering to the Lord, right? And so the first fruits are then what James uses. God has worked through, and we could get into in greater depth what that entailed, the first fruits. But then God uses the first fruits to describe the Christians in the book of James. The Christians are described as, you are described as the first fruits of God's creation. Go back there to James, verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. God brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we may be, as it were, the first fruits among his creation. So, as Christians, we are the first fruits, and we are to be set apart as an offering for the Lord. We're the very best of what God has brought forth. See, in the Old Testament, God is referred to as the Creator God, the God of all creation. But really, in the New Testament, the thrust is Jesus is the Creator of the new creation. See, it's not just he is the creator of heaven and earth, but rather he is the creator of the new man. It's one of the emphasis of Jesus in the great creative acts that take place. See, the creative act that takes place, your immersion into Christ, is much greater than when God said, "Let there be light," in a physical sense. The reason why we see the demonstration of God's power and let there be light in a physical sense is so that we would understand that when we're immersed into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God is also saying, "Let there be light." See, Genesis 1, basically verses 1 through 3 or so, is actually a description of a person's immersion into Jesus Christ. Now understand that God is setting this up for us to be able to be the realization of his plan. See, it's not about us. Sometimes we can get off track there. It's not about us, okay? But we get the privilege to be the realization and culmination of his plan. Is that a good gift? We're the first fruits. God has been working throughout history to communicate to us that the past is gone and that we are those entirely new creatures. We are his first fruits. Okay, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 talks about, okay, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, which acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. So, our bodies are what? Living sacrifices. What are we bringing forth as our first fruits to the Lord? See, in this way, we get to be both sacrifice and priest in a way. Okay? Because we're bringing forth the best of what we've got. And we also get to be priests in service to our Lord. See, God has worked hard to communicate to us that we are the first fruits among his creation. We are the new creations of his. We are his first fruits. Of course, we're going to be thinking then of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." I hope you were here for Jeremy's Sunday school, because that fits exactly with what we're talking about here this afternoon. Okay, we're talking about the new creation, the new things that have come. You are the first fruits. You are a new creature whose history has been erased. So today is the day that you have to be concerned with. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet, right? What are you going to do with today? It's New Year's Eve, right? Well, I really encourage you to do, as Jeremy suggested, take a little bit of time and reflect about the past year. Think about what you want your next year to look like. What do you want to accomplish? How are you going to get there? Don't be held back by what yesterday entailed, but rather set yourself up for success. Hebrews chapter 10. You are the first fruits. Hebrews 10, verse 17. Let's go ahead and let's pick it up in 15. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them." He then says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. This is not just talking about what happens in the waters of immersion. Christian, yesterday's gone. 12 hours ago is gone. 2 hours ago is gone. Whatever you need is gone. What matters is today. Where are you headed? You are the first fruits among his creatures. Are we going to recognize that within ourselves? There is the burial of the old self and then a putting on of the new self. We referenced 2 weeks ago, okay? Jesus is the rivers of living waters, the refreshment for our souls. That refreshing is happening on a continual basis. So that you are not paralyzed by yesterday. So that you are not paralyzed by 5 minutes ago. So that you are saved to serve. That's why you're saved. Saved to serve. Okay? And so there is the new self. The Holy Spirit's working to continually renew us. Well, what's our responsibility within that? 1 Peter chapter 3. See, the Holy Spirit, he's doing work. He's doing work in our hearts and our minds. Certainly, we're responsible for giving him material, but he's going to work with that material beyond when we're just reading the scriptures. He's going to continue to work. Okay, as we look towards Jesus, the only way that we're going to be transformed is by the operation of the Spirit. See, without the Spirit, okay, their eyes are veiled and they can't see the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to change an individual. But that's all taking place by the Lord, the Spirit. The only way that that's going to take place. So the Spirit then is involved in every conversation that we have. The Spirit is involved with us in every single way, every single circumstance. The Spirit is at work because he is dwelling and living inside of our bodies and being those rivers of living water. So our responsibility then is laid out here in 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 15, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." So Christian, your job is to set Christ apart as Lord in your life today. That's your job. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart today. Jesus is first place. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Setting him apart as Lord in my life today. I am in worship of him in my mind and in my heart today. He is Lord. I am bowed down before him because he is God. Lordship. sanctify Christ as Lord, as Master, as the boss applesauce in your heart today. That's what you can do something about. You can't do anything about yesterday. But as we look towards the new year, what do you have? You have today. And this is the direction that I'm going to go. And this is the direction that my family's going to go. And this is the direction that the local congregation is going to go. And this is the direction that the Lord's kingdom is going to go as far as it depends upon me. Because I'm going to sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart today. You got something to do with that. That's your decision. That's exciting. That really is exciting. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts today. Because he's got the rest of it taken care of. Taken care of. Yesterday, gone. Last week, gone. Mistakes, gone. Guilty conscience, gone. Sin, gone. Gone. Reminds me of that old Switchfoot song, right? Gone. Lamentations chapter 3. Anybody get that at all? Reference? Yes, one. All right. Lamentations chapter 3. I guess some Five Iron Frenzy references in there. I know Ruben will pick up on those. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3, verse 22. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The year is just a collection of days. You don't have to wait for the new job. You don't have to wait until the kids are older. We don't have to wait for any of those outside circumstances to start making incremental, real change. The Lord, okay, his faithfulness is indeed great. His compassions never fail. His loving kindness never cease. They are new every morning. For the Christian, they're new even greater than that. Every second of every day, because he dwells inside of you. Kill the past guilt. See, when Israel began to bring the crops in, they were to harvest the very, very best section first, and they were set aside for the priests as an offering to the Lord. We are set aside as the first fruits and the sacrifice. Okay? You are the priest and the sacrifice. You're new. Okay? Use this boost. It is New Year's Eve. We are thinking about that. Use this as a shot in the arm. Use this as a boost, as a little extra motivation. You know, as humans, we, to a large extent, okay, we are motivated by incentive. Okay, there's a little extra incentive because that calendar turns over to 2018. Use it. It's not going to power you through, okay? Probably even a week from now. But if it helps you get one week in that you've never got in before, use it. Use it. It's an incremental step. Set yourself up for success, because the reality for those of us who are in Christ, there is a recognition that greater than the incremental boost that going from 2017 to 2018 is the newness of being in Jesus Christ every second of every day. That's real. And it's way more real than how we happen to mark days on the calendar. You are new, and today is the day of salvation. We'll end with 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jeremy?
That's all I'm saying.